Join me in Exodus chapter 1, please. Exodus chapter 1, or it is there on the projection in front of you. Hear the infallible, inerrant, holy word of the living God. Exodus 1:15, please. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, when you serve as a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and let the male children live? The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes, and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because, she said, I drew him out of the water. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his most holy word. And I remind you once again the title of the sermon, The Selflessness of a Mother. Selflessness. To be selfless is to be concerned more with the needs and wishes of others than you are with the needs of yourself. One author writes, the one thing about being a parent is the ability to be selfless. To give up the things you want and need for the benefit of someone else. I would like to introduce you to Jochebed. She is referenced here in chapter 2, verse 1, as the Levite woman who married the gentleman from the house of Levi. This is also, as we have seen, Moses' mother. Jochebed was a devout Hebrew. And here, being led by the Holy Spirit, performed one of the more selfless acts recorded in all of Scripture. She gave her child away in order to save him. This story comes from a time when the Israelites were being held in captivity as slaves in Egypt, suffering horribly at the hands of Pharaoh and his army. They cried out endlessly for God to come and save them, to rescue them from this agony. But Jochebed had a more particular issue, being the mother of a three-month-old when Pharaoh has commanded that all male children be tossed into the Nile River. I'm not sure I can imagine the courage or the pain it took to place a three-month-old in a basket and place it into the Nile River. I've been to the Nile River. It is huge. It is massive. And it is fast flowing. But this child was caught up in the reeds. Again, I cannot imagine placing a child in a river such as this, any body of water, and then simply turning around and walking away. Moms, could you do that? Many of us will not even let our child play near such a place. Yet she intentionally put Moses in this vast body of water. Today, Child Protective Services would be all over this woman, to say the least. But that's what she did. She had the wisdom, the courage, and the selflessness to lay that basket in the reeds and walk away. But Jochebed knew where she was, under whose authority she was, and this is the only way that Moses had a chance to live. Because the Hebrew population was growing in such numbers, it began to be a threat toward Pharaoh. They were just multiplying. And so he gave this edict to kill all the male children. The female children, they could live. The male children had to die. And here, you see, Pharaoh commanded that the male Israelite babies be killed by tossing them in the Nile River. And here's God's irony in this. Pharaoh meant for the Nile River to be an instrument of death. God used the Nile River as an instrument of salvation for Moses. Back to Jochebed. The selfish thing for Jochebed would have been to try to keep the baby hidden, try to keep the baby close to its mother, even try to run away with the child, leave Egypt and go away. But that would be suicide. Because if you leave Egypt and go in any direction, you're in the desert. You're in the desert. So there is no safe place for a woman and a child such as this. However, had she chosen to run away and had she been caught, certainly the child would have been killed and probably Jochebed herself. Instead, she unselfishly floats Moses down a river and walks away. That is faith. That is faith. However, in her wisdom as a mother, she leaves a spy, Moses' sister, at some distance away to keep a watch to see what would happen to Moses. Now, someone might quickly say, if she was such a devout Hebrew and had such a strong faith in Yahweh to place Moses there, why did she also put a spy in to make sure Moses would be okay? Well, you see, God protects and God provides, but he also uses us, human beings, in his plans to be instruments of that salvation. Look at the prophet Nehemiah. When he left Babylon and went back to Jerusalem and he began building the wall, the enemies did not want him to build the wall. But Nehemiah was told by God to build that wall. And so Nehemiah built that wall with a sword in his hand and had armed guards around him. He had faith in God and was doing what God said, but he protected himself. So here we see Jochebed understanding and believing God said, put Moses in that river. And then she also put that spy in place. You see, God's children are not robots under some otherworldly control, being controlled totally at the providence of God, and we have no interaction in it whatsoever. God gives us that wisdom and desires us to have that wisdom to work along and inside his will and inside his plan. All right, once again, back to Jochebed. We know the story. Pharaoh's daughter sees the baby, has compassion. The spying sister boldly steps up to the princess and says, do you want me to go get someone to nurse that child? Where was God in all this? Right there. And so she goes and gets Moses' mother, Jochebed, and brings her back, introduces her to the princess in some way. The princess said, here, you nurse the child, and I'll pay you. How many of y'all get paid to be a mama? Not financially, you get paid in other ways. Jochebed got paid for nursing her son. And so here we are at the end of the story. Jochebed's selfless giving is over. No, it's not. If you will, look at me at chapter 2, verse 10. I'll read it to you. Scripture reads, when the child grew older, she, Jochebed, brought him, Moses, to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because Moses means to be drawn up out of the water. Jochebed had to give Moses away again. The second time. The first time had to be excruciatingly difficult. But then in God's grace, Moses was brought back to Jochebed and she was able to nurse her child. We're not sure exactly how long, just older. We're not sure of the exact age. And so Moses lives. And see, here is where we need to look behind the curtain. We need to look behind the scenes and see what God is doing back here behind, controlling all of these things. God desires for Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And so in just a few short years, Moses will be called on to do that. Relatively short years for his age. But Moses needs to be prepared. By the time Moses leads the children out of Egypt, there's over 6 million Israelites in Egypt. You don't take that task on lightly, leading them out into a desert. And so God takes Moses back from Jochebed, puts it with the prince of Pharaoh, the princess's daughter, the princess of Pharaoh, and trains him in some of the best means of education available. And he's being trained to be Pharaoh's son. However, we know the story. He realizes he's an Israelite and he leads the children of Israel out. And so here, God is already working with a three-month-old, getting him in touch with Pharaoh's daughter. And then later on, bringing back this child to Pharaoh's daughter so that he might be raised up under Pharaoh's leadership. So Moses lived, coming up out of the water. He gets discovered and is protected by the princes and gets to go home with his mama to be nursed for, but only for a while. Now she has to give him back away a second time. But this time it's permanent. This time it's permanent. As the scripture says, Moses became her son, Pharaoh's daughter's son, no longer Jochebed's son. So, no cards, no birthday visits, no Sunday after church meals at mama's house. It's all gone. It's all gone. However, we have to know this is God's divine plan. And under the threat of death by Pharaoh, Jochebed is obedient. As I was reading through this, Joseph and his brothers came to mind. Jochebed could easily have made the statement similar to what Joseph said about his brothers. What Joseph's brothers did to him, selling him in slavery, was exactly what God desired to happen. To get him in Egypt to provide for Israel during the famine. So here we see the same thing God doing again with Moses, getting Moses in Pharaoh's house to get him prepared to lead the Israelites out of Egypt that Joseph brought into Egypt. All of this is going on behind the scenes. All of this is going on. The story of Moses' life begins, and it's an incredible story, and Moses' journey begins with these two completely selfless acts by his mother. If Moses had not gotten into Pharaoh's house, he would not have been prepared to lead the Israelites out. This was God's plan all along. And here's where we have to, again, look behind the scenes and see the sacrifice of selflessness, but also look at the result and look at God's decrees and how it's being brought together. This entire nation of Israel is going to be led out of Egypt. And they're going to be led out very fortunate, very rich, as Pharaoh will give them everything just to get rid of them. But through this journey, they're also going to learn who God is. They're going to learn about his power. They're going to learn about his authority. They're going to learn his character and his nature when he gives them the law. All of this, when Jochebed put Moses in that river at 3 months old. A totally selfless act. She gave up her son, not once, but twice. Moms, I'll ask you again. Could you give up your son? Could you give up your daughter? And I'm sure many of you have done those selfless things, not to this degree, possibly. You've sacrificed much and given much to raise your children, to get them in a good place, pray for them, etc. And I do hope your sacrifice was worth it, just as Jochebed's was. Now, there are many other individuals in the Bible I could have used for this illustration of selflessness. Hannah, the young Hannah. Hannah said to her husband Elkanah after giving birth to Samuel, "I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently." Again, another mother giving away their son permanently to the Lord's work. And Hannah keeps her promise. She leaves him at the tabernacle in the care of the priest Eli. Again, selflessness. And remember Hannah's story. She was ridiculed by Elkanah's other wives. She was barren for a time. She cried, she wept, she prayed, she prayed, she cried, she wept. She said, "Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back." What? Wait a minute. You're wanting a son and you're going to give him away. Yes. And that's exactly what Hannah did. And so young Samuel found his place in the nation of Israel as a leader. Another mother gave her son away was our Lord's mother, Mary. And she, like Jochebed and Hannah, gave her son up for the Lord God's work. But this giving up had a different outcome. This giving up the son cost him his life. And she had heard this early on when Jesus was born, and she and Joseph were bringing him to the temple for a blessing. The priest Simeon said to Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also." Yes, he would be opposed to the point of death. And she would feel as though that sword would be ripping through her internals as he died. We believe that Mary was told this when Jesus was probably 2 months old, maybe three. 2 months old. A greater act of selfless giving by a mother. And speaking of giving, there is one who gave selflessly, and that is Jesus Christ. There is no greater act of selfless than that of our Lord's. The giving of his life, living of his life, the giving of his life. All of this according to the will of the Father. And he gave unselfishly. And similar to Jochebed's giving away twice her son Moses was worth it because it accomplished the will of God. Here, Jesus Christ being given away by mother at the will of the Father was certainly worth it. How many of you have salvation in Jesus Christ? Was his death worth it? Yes, it was. Was Mary's act of unselfishness worth it? Yes, it was. We have a family that's given up children to go to the mission field. They're taking their children to the mission field. Many of you have, as I've said, moms, dads, you've done the unselfish act, putting your children, sometimes turning your children loose and letting them go and be, even if it means moving away. Jenny and I left home in 1983. She and I feel like missionaries in a different field. Our parents gave us up to the ministry. But let's continue to make this circle larger. It's not just the mothers who are to act selflessly. It's not just Jesus Christ who gave Every Christian is called to live an unselfish, a life of selflessness. Jesus said in Matthew 16, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Do you understand the nature of giving up that Jesus Christ is talking about here? It's not just going to the mission field. It's not just going to be a pastor. It's not just the cross. Take up your cross. A cross is an instrument of death. So what he is talking about is we give up to the point of dying to self. Jochebed died to herself. She did not act in any selfish way at all. Hannah died to her own wants. She wanted a child so badly, and yet she gave him away. And here's the great paradox of the Christian faith. If you want to live, you have to die. If you want to find life, you must first lose it for Jesus' sake. Selfless living is for every single Christian person. Not just the mothers, not just Jesus, the Christian. And mothers, you do. You provide a great example of this kind of selflessness. Mothers provide a great example of unselfishly giving for their families, for their children. But for us all, selflessness, it was the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is also the way of the Christian. It is also the way of the Christian. Amen. Amen. Amen.